This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira fa ma ba'du. My dear brothers and sisters, in our series of classes on living Islam, I want to talk to you today about an issue which is absolutely a core issue. It is the most fundamental, the most core, the very heart of the matter, and that is the purpose of our existence on this planet, on planet Earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described and mentioned that purpose where he said, وَمَا قَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The two nafi in this statement, Allah said, I have not created the insan, the human beings and the jinn for any purpose other than my worship. My brothers and sisters, this worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another name for that is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every time we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us remind ourselves that we are at that moment, in that action, engaged in the dhikr of Allah, whatever the nature of that dhikr might be. For example, I am talking to you, you are listening to me, this is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what is the benefit of that dhikr? How does it help us? And this is something that I will talk to you about today, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable me to say that which is correct, that which is haq, that which is the truth, that which will benefit you and me, and to save me and to save you from anything which is the opposite of that. We ask and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from shaitan and from nafs and from anything that leads to misguidance, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, because there is nobody who can guide except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. My brothers and sisters, first and foremost, let me begin by reminding myself and you about the ayat of the Quran with regard to zikr. And there are many such ayats, but one of the most powerful, most beautiful of them is from Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. Allah said, you remember me and I will remember you. You do my zikr and I will do your zikr. Now, the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ with regard to this particular ayah is a very beautiful hadith where Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned this, and he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when my slave remembers me, I remember him. If he remembers me within himself, I remember him within myself. And when he remembers me in a gathering, then I remember him in a gathering that is better than his. Now I want you to think about this, and I want you to think about this ayah and think about this particular hadith. The idea is not simply to recite ayat and hadith and listen to them and go home. The idea is to try to internalize this knowledge and say, how is this knowledge beneficial for me? And the way to internalize that is to reflect on this. So reflect on this ayah. Only one simple thing which is in both of these, the ayat and the hadith, which is, Allah said, Allah will remember you. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. Allah said, remember me and I will remember you. And in the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the same thing, where he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that when my slave remembers me, I remember him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further clarified that in terms of the two ways in which we can remember, by ourselves or in a gathering. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he will remember that particular slave. Now obviously, when we are talking about remembering in a gathering, it means that anyone who is in that gathering is included in the list of those who are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of them will be remembered by Allah. And Allah said, in a gathering that is better than theirs. And obviously, the gathering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the muqarrabun of the malaika, of the angels, who are the most honored, the most high of the angels who surround the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, therefore, I want you, and I reflect on it myself, and I want you to reflect on this and say, what does it do to me when I think about myself in this context? And I say, I am the one who Allah is remembering on His throne. And remembering means what? How do we remember Allah? By taking His name, by talking about His attributes. So we say Allah, we say Ar-Rahman, we say Ar-Rahim, we say Subhanallah, we say Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And many other things. So we remember by taking the name of the one we are remembering. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I remember you, what is happening there? What is happening there is, in a way that suits His majesty and grace, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually mentioning your name and my name on His arsh. Subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a taste of this, the sweetness of this, a little bit of a ray of the noor of being remembered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The very fact that I can tell you and talk to you about all this and I have not dropped dead out of the glory and majesty of Allah is proof of the fact that I am also only using words. May Allah protect me from myself. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the words the true weight of those words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduce those in my heart and your heart. Because the biggest benefit of getting the noor of the ilm is that it drives away the darkness of misguidance. What is the darkness of misguidance? The darkness of misguidance is to consider anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be superior. To consider anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to harm you or benefit you in any way whatsoever. Just two aspects. Now you might say, well, you know, I don't consider anybody to be superior than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all, I say Allahu Akbar when I am doing salah. And I do not believe that anyone can harm me and or benefit me other than Allah, because I believe that there is nobody who can harm or benefit except Allah. La nafi wa la dharra illa Allah. You might say that, I might say that. But my point is, saying is not enough. If in fact this is the case, then I need to look into my heart and you need to look into your heart and see if there is any fear, if there is any anxiety, if there is any worry, if there is any depression, if there is any stress. Because if these things are there, then it means that my statement that there is no one greater than Allah, my statement that nobody can benefit or harm except Allah is not correct. I'm only saying that. I don't really believe it. It's not in my heart. Because if it was in my heart, then depression and stress and fear and anxiety and worry would all disappear. To give you an example, what is the proof that a room is lighted? The proof that a room has light in it is that there is no darkness in the room. Right? If you put on the lights, you turn the switches on, and the room is still dark, what will you say? You will say the switch is not working. You will say the bulbs are fused. You will say the light is not, there's no power, there's no electricity, the light is not coming on. Because the very evidence and proof that there is light is that darkness disappears. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the truth has come and falsehood has disappeared. Falsehood has gone. It is the nature of falsehood to disappear. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. It is the nature of darkness to disappear when light comes. Darkness has no existence by itself. If I ask you to define darkness, define what is darkness? What will you say? You will say darkness is the absence of light. Is there any other definition of darkness? Darkness means what? Darkness means there is no light. So by itself, darkness has no existence. If I tell you, bring light, you can bring light. You can turn the light on, you can bring a torch, or you can light a match or a lamp or something. But if I tell you, bring darkness, how will you bring darkness? Right? I'm sitting in a room which is well lighted, and I tell you, don't touch anything, just bring darkness. But if I'm sitting in a dark room, and I tell you, don't touch anything, but bring light, you can bring light. Because light has existence. Darkness has no existence. Darkness is the name that is given to the absence of light. So also, misguidance has no existence. Misguidance is the name given to the absence of guidance. My brothers and sisters, this is something that we need to understand. And that is what will give us confidence to live in this world, inshallah, for whatever time Allah has given us. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, and this is what Rasulullah told us. What is that light switch? What is that source of illumination? What is that source of hidayah? The source of hidayah is one. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. La tahdi man ahbabta, walakin Allah yahdi man yasha. Qala jalla wa'ala. Allah said to Rasulullah, as a means of comforting him, he said, oh my Habib, oh my Nabi, don't get worried, don't get distressed because people are not listening to you, because people don't accept and don't understand, and they're not listening to what you are saying. Don't be upset about that. Because you cannot guide. We have not given guidance to you. You cannot guide whoever you like. So there is no failure. If you have not been able to guide somebody, if somebody has not accepted your guidance, it is not your failure. You will not be blamed. You will not be held responsible. You will not be asked, called to account for this. Because Allah is the one who guides, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whoever He likes to guide. And this is not random. It's not to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picks and chooses and say, well, this is a person here who is a beautiful, 100% wonderful, lovely human being who is really sincere about wanting guidance, but I'm not going to guide him. I want to see him burn. So I'm going to throw him in the hellfire. No problem. I will not guide this person. Allah is not saying that. Allah is not saying that. Guidance is given to anybody who sincerely wants it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah does not look at your faces, Allah looks at your hearts. So it doesn't matter if you are black or white, it doesn't matter if you are Arab or non-Arab, it doesn't matter if you are Indian or Pakistani or Bangladeshi or European or American or whatever, Icelander, it doesn't matter your color, black, white, anything, nothing matters, gender doesn't matter, whether you're man, woman, makes no difference. The only thing which makes a difference is, do you sincerely want guidance in your heart? Or are you holding it and saying, well, you know, I want guidance in a particular way. I want guidance given certain conditions, meaning that currently I am doing this and this and this. And this guidance, whatever it is, must not prohibit me from doing these things. I must continue to do that. I have a certain lifestyle. I have a certain way of living my life. I must continue all of that. And given all of these boundaries which I am setting, I want but guidance within those boundaries, sorry, doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. Because you are talking to or you are seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, who is the creator and the sustainer and the maintainer and the protector of the entire universe. He is Rabbul Alameen, He is Rabbul Arshil Kareem. He does not follow your rules. He does not obey your orders. He doesn't care what you want and what you don't want. You have to go to him as a supplicant. You have to go to him and beg him for his mercy and forgiveness. And you have to say, Ya Allah, please guide me. Ya Allah, you are the one who guides. So please guide me. What is that guidance? Whatever you give is guidance. And what did he give? He gave us the Quran al-Kareem. He gave us his kitab, Jalla Jalaluhu. And he sent us his Nabi, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to read that book to us and to demonstrate how we are supposed to live our lives according to that book. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu sent us his kitab and he sent us his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to demonstrate to us how we are supposed to live according to that book. And the first and foremost principle of that is Fadhkuruni Azkurkum. Remember Allah and Allah will remember you. Allah said, remember me and I will remember you. So I want you to reflect on this. What does it mean if Allah is remembering me? Just think about that. What does it mean if Allah is remembering me? And I told you the hadith also. Allah said, when my slave remembers me by himself, I remember him by myself. When he remembers me within himself, I remember him within myself. Whatever that means in the context of His Majesty and Grace, however that means, we don't ask that question. And then Allah said, if He remembers me in a gathering, I remember Him in a gathering, which is better than His. My brothers and sisters, this is the question we need to ask and say, what does this mean? What is the benefit? What happens to me if I am aware of the fact that my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu is remembering me? He's taking my name on the arsh. Tell me, what is the boundary condition? What is the default setting? What is the minimum that will happen to somebody who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers in the company of the muqarrabun? What will happen to this person when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What will happen to that person is that person will be recognized, will not be a stranger, will be recognized by those malaika. Allah of course knows. But the malaika will say, Ya Allah, this is the one you are talking about. Ya Allah, this is the one whose name you used to take. Huh? What is the value of that? You are going into a place, my brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, we think we have problems. We think we have anxiety. We think we have fears because we have forgotten that day which is going to come, about which everyone had anxieties, including the best of creations, the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Even though they have been given the bashar of Jannah. The Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who even though they were given the bashar of Jannah, there is one thing about which every human being who understands Allah, I'm not talking about the jahilun, I'm not talking about the ignorant masses, the great unwashed multitude who doesn't even know who Allah is, who doesn't care who Allah is. It makes no difference because everybody is going before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can care or not care, makes no difference. But you have to understand. Who are we talking about? We're talking about those who knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who were connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7, who lived their lives to the best of their abilities in a way that pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was likely to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet there is one time, there was one time, one moment in their lives about which they were all anxious, and that moment was the moment of meeting Malakul Maut, the moment of death. In Arabic literature, there is this character called Jufa. He's the equivalent of Mullah Nasruddin in Farsi and Urdu literature. So this Jufa and Mullah Nasruddin, they were actually historically they existed. They were people who were known. But their beautiful situation was that they pretended to be just funny clowns, you know, foolish. But that was their way of teaching. So these were, inshallah, people who were very wise and people who, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. These people who were, you know, what we would want us to be, who Allah is pleased with. But the way they taught was through funny stories and by saying things which are unexpected and so on and so forth. So the story about this person is that somebody asked him, they said, do you know when the day of judgment is? He said, yes. So this person asking this question got very surprised. You know the day of judgment? He said, yeah. He said, when is it? This man said, there are two. So now this gets even more perplexing and interesting. So when is the day of judgment? Do you know that? He said, yes. So he said, so when is it? He said, there are two. So the man says, well, what two? He says, there is Qiyamatu Sughra and Qiyamatu Kubra. The small Qiyamah and the big Qiyamah. The small day of judgment and the big one. So the man said, well, tell me more. The man said, you know, the Qiyamatu Sughra, the small day of judgment, is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather everybody on the plain of Hashar, and Allah will be on his throne, and the Malaika will be there, and so on, and so on, and so on, all of that. He said, that's a small Qiyamah. So the man said, which is the big Qiyamah? If that is the small Qiyamah, Qiyamatu Sughra, then which is the Qiyamatu Al-Kubra, which is the big Qiyamah? The man said, the big Qiyamah is when I meet Malakul Maut, my day and moment of death. So this questioner, he asked him, well, how so? I mean, you are saying something which is the opposite of whatever I have heard and whatever I know. So, you know, explain. The man said, look, on the day of judgment, all of this is true. Everyone is gathered, Allah is on his arsh and so on and so on. But you know, when I go there, I am going before Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. I am going before Al-Ghafoor Ar-Rahim. I am going before the one whose mercy has no boundary, whose mercy is always at the peak. I am going before the one whose name is Al-Afw, the one who is most forgiving, most merciful. He said, that is not a problem. That is not a problem. That's small. He said, the big one is when I meet Malakul Maut, I will meet him alone. There is no one to help me. That is the big problem. He said, this is the Qiyamatu Sughra. This is the Qiyamatu Kubra. This is the big Qiyamah. This is the big problem. I am going to meet Malakul Maut. And at that time, there is no one to help me. Now remember, when you meet Malakul Maut, if you are the one whose name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was taking on his arsh, when Malakul Maut comes to you, he is coming to a friend. He is coming to a friend. He is not coming to a stranger. He is not coming to an enemy of Allah. He is not coming to somebody who he has been sent to punish. He is coming to somebody who knows, who he knows, whose name he has heard, and he has heard his name from the one who there is nothing greater than him, Allahu Akbar. Malakul Maut heard your name from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Malakul Maut heard your name from Jibril alayhi salam. What is the dalil for this? The dalil for this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi salam said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, who does Allah love? Allah loves the one who makes his dhikr. Frequently. Dhakar Allah kathira. Who remembers Allah in plenty. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves somebody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Jibreel alayhi salam and says, ya Jibreel, I love so and so, and Allah will take your name. Ask Allah to take your name. And to name you to Jibreel alayhi salam, and to name you on his arsh. Say Ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Jibreel alayhi salam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, and says, Jibreel, I love this person. So you also love him. This is the hukum of Allah to Jibreel alayhi salam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then Jibreel alayhi salam also loves the person, and Jibreel alayhi salam announces in the heavens to all the inhabitants of the heavens that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu loves this person, loves so and so. And Al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then the love of that person is put into the hearts of all the inhabitants of the heavens, and the love of that person and izzah for that person and respect for that person is put into the hearts of all those who inhabit the earth. So remember, at the minimum, Malakul Maut has heard your name from Jibreel alayhi salam. And he didn't just hear your name randomly. No. He was told that Allah loves this person. Allah loves this person. So when Malakul Maut comes for you, he is coming to a friend. He is coming to somebody who he has been told Allah loves this person. What is the benefit of doing the zikr of Allah? This is the benefit of doing the zikr of Allah. That day, that Qiyamatul Kubra, really, the big Qiyamah, when I'm alone, will be made easy for me. Number two, what is the effect of the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that love for this person will be put into the hearts of people of the malaika, of the inhabitants of the heavens, and love for that person will be put into the hearts of people who inhabit the earth. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness to this. This is so true. I've seen this so many times in the lives of those who do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That strangers love them. That people have nothing to do with them, never saw them in their lives. When they meet them as if they are meeting their most beloved person. They honor them, they respect them, they love them, they shower whatever they can on them. They open their hearts and their homes to them. Total strangers. And all this happens without this person making any effort about that. The person who they are respecting, the person who they are loving, the person who they are listening to, and based on what that person tells them, they are changing their lives. This person did not do anything to get that love from those people. He did not advertise himself. He was not canvassing for votes. This person was not putting out stuff on Facebook and whatnot, praising himself or talking about himself, nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the love of that person in the hearts of people. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, let us get into this and let us remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let not your tongue be silent at any time. Anytime you are not talking something beneficial, useful, work related to somebody, or with relation to building good relationships and so on, keep on making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even when you are talking to people and so on, let the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala run in your heart and mind like the OS, the operating system, runs on your computer 24/7. It doesn't stop. No matter what software is working on the face of it. Let our operating system become the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let every breath we take have the name of Allah in it. Allahu Allah. Allahu Allah. I'm not asking you to make a drama of this. Let this just become the nature of the person. Let it become your nature. Let me make it my nature. That every breath I take takes the name of Allah. As I inhale, Allah. As I exhale, Allah. So that when the final breath goes out, it is going out with the name of Allah. Right? So, two benefits. One, Allah takes your name on His arsh. The malaika know you. They recognize you. When Malakul Maut comes to meet you, he knows you, he recognizes you, he respects you, he loves you because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put your love into his heart. Number two, love for you is established in the world. Tell me, how much time and energy we spend on wanting to be popular? Right? Facebook likes, Twitter, RTs, Instagram likes, hearts, whatnot. How much of our time and energy is focused on this absolute nonsense? Whereas real love, you really want people to love you, then love Allah. Because if you love Allah, people will love you. If you make the zikr of Allah, people will love you. That is the rule. Don't canvass for votes. Don't go running behind people. Because people, it's like a shadow. The more you run behind the shadow will run away from you. You'll never catch it. But if you run away from the shadow follows you. It will never leave you. It will never leave you. So focus yourself in a way where you are facing the sun, so the shadow is behind you. It will always be behind you. It will always keep coming behind you. Turn yourself towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the world will become your shadow. And it will follow you, no matter where you are. Turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the shadow is before you. And you will run behind the shadow and you will never catch the shadow. That is the nature of things. Third benefit. What happens to the one, as I mentioned to you, the heart which is filled with the zikr of Allah, meaning the khashyat of Allah. Zikr is not just words. Zikr is the feeling of that. And what is that feeling? That feeling is called khashyat Allah. That feeling is the awe and majesty of Allah, which results in noor, which results in light of guidance, which drives away what? Every negative emotion. The heart of the believer, the heart of the zakir, is filled only with the zikr of Allah. It has no place for hatred. It has no place for love of anything in the dunya of ghairullah, whether it is material or human or whatever. It has no place for anxiety. It has no place for depression. It has no place for doubt. It is filled with the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So such a person lives with complete and total confidence, no matter what is happening around him in the world. Today, as I am sitting and talking to you, 14th of December, the Electoral College is going to vote on the election of President Trump. On the election, actually, not of President Trump, but, you know, Trump and Biden. And we will know this evening, or later today, of who actually got elected and whose election, who succeeded and who didn't succeed. And I can tell you there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of people sitting and wondering, I don't know what will happen. Same thing, go to some other country, go to India for example, the farmers' agitation is happening, where the government is trying to bring in these bills which will literally hand over the country to the billionaires, and the rest of the population will get enslaved to them, all in the name of opening up markets and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of anxiety associated with that. What will happen? And so on and so forth. But the one who has the zikr of Allah in his heart, the one whose heart is illuminated with the glory and majesty of Allah, is he bothered about any of this? He's not bothered, because he knows one very fundamental thing, which is that whatever happens will happen only if Allah allows it to happen. Whatever it is, on the face of it, whether it seems to be good or it seems to be bad. Allah said, وَأَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَأَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah said, it is possible that you may like something, but there is harm in it for you. And it is possible that you may love something, but there is, you may hate something, and there is benefit in it for you. And Allah knows and you don't know. It is possible you may like something and there is harm. It's possible that you may dislike something and there is benefit. And Allah knows and you don't know. So the one who, the zakir, the one who has the zikr of Allah in his heart, he or her who is engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does that person do? That person is not bothered because he knows that whatever is going to happen will happen only if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees and if only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to happen. Not in any other way. So if that is the case, and if I am doing the zikr of Allah, then what do I want to happen? I want whatever Allah wants. So whatever happens, what is my position? I say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All praise and all thanks to you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Now you might say, well, you know, something bad happens, you're going to say, Alhamdulillah. Yes, because I know that whatever bad is happening in that circumstances, the evil of it will not apply to me. Why? Because Allah is taking my name on His arsh. If Allah is mentioning me by name, how can anything evil happen to me? You might say, well, you know, physically if you are harmed, well, there is not evil. The one who is shaheed fi sabilillah, is he dying or is he living? So what happened to him? Is it evil? Is it good? If a person gets sick, if a Muslim, a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he or she gets sick, forget about getting sick is a big thing. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even a thorn will not prick or does not prick the foot of a believer, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive a sin for that person. So on the face of this person got sick, something within quotes which is bad, but what is happening to this person? Tahora. At the end of his sickness, this person comes out of the sickness free from sin. If it is a terminal sickness, then the sickness cleans him or her, and when he dies free from sin, inshallah. We don't ask for these things. We don't ask for calamities. We don't ask for sickness. We don't ask for death. But we understand it because we see it, we look at it with our knowledge, so we see the reality of it. We are not misguided by it. We don't start looking at it like people who are ignorant. So we say, Alhamdulillah. If I lose money, if I lose my job, what do I say? I say, Alhamdulillah. Why? Because the one I lost the job. I didn't lose my provider. Think about that. If you borrowed money on interest, you lost your provider because you signed a declaration of war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Razzaqul Quwwatil Batin. Which is worse? Somebody who loses a job, he lost the means. But the one who creates the means is there. So if one door is shut, so what? So what? I say, Alhamdulillah. So now Allah wants to give me from sources that I cannot imagine. Maryam alayhi salam is sitting in her room. She has been locked into that room for her own safety by Zakaria alayhi salam. He comes back. He opens the door from outside. The door was locked. She was safe. He opens the door. He enters the room and there is fresh fruit, out of season fruit, which is sitting there. And it's not just scattered on the floor. Yeah, the fruit must have come in some container also. Ya Maryam, wa anna laki hadha. Ya Maryam, where did you get this from? What does she say? She said, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gives yarzuqu man yasha bi ghayri hisab, who gives provision to whoever he wants without counting. So Alhamdulillah, I lost my job, now I can relax. Brilliant, fantastic. What about my children? What about my family? Well, what about them? Did I create them? Am I their creator? Am I their Razzaq? Are they worshipping me? What must I say to them? I say to them, ask Allah. I am asking Allah, you ask Allah. He created you. He made me the means of providing for you. Now I lost my job. So tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows already, but you ask him because he is the only one who likes those who ask. Allah is the only one who likes those who ask. That's why I always say, ask only Allah, because he is the only one who likes those who ask. Ask him. And said, Ya Allah, please provide us. Now don't say, give my dad a job. No, no, no. You provide us. If Allah wants to provide you through your dad, through your mom, very good. If he wants to provide all of you from a source that you cannot imagine, so much the better. Alhamdulillah. This is the benefit of the dhikr of Allah. More in the next class, inshallah. For now, reflect on this. Reflect on these two or three things and see how it applies in your life. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your heart with his nur, to fill your heart with his khashyah, to fill your hearts with tawakkul, and to free your hearts from all doubt, all anxiety, all fears, all stress, and all depression. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.